Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Today is Sunday, March 19th. The year is 2017. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall, your host. It's actually 8 a.m. in the morning, and I'm saying to myself, can you believe one quarter of the year 2017 is almost gone? Now, as far as the month being March, this month is actually special to me in relation to Blog Talk Radio because, like I mentioned before, I started with Blog Talk Radio in March of 2011. So this month marks the end of my 6th year with Blog Talk Radio and the beginning of my 7th year. In celebration, I am going to talk about something near and dear to me, something near and dear to my heart, and that is my cookbook collection. So today's show, Meet Laura Gall, is really entitled Laura Gall's Cookbook Collection. I have so many wonderful cookbooks, and I enjoy cooking for my husband, Donald. So let's get started. On Facebook, in approximately the year, I think it was 2011, at the end of 2011, I created several Facebook groups. And one group is called What's Cooking Good Looking. Now, you can create a group on Facebook about any topic that's personal to you. I have books, writers, and publishers. I have style, beauty, and charm. And lately I haven't been on Facebook as much, but I do have people who just run with it in relation to my groups. And one group I'm really proud of is What's Cooking Good Looking, because the members of that group, they tend to post a lot of the items that they cook every day on a daily basis, whatever they cooked for breakfast, whatever they made for lunch, and whatever they made for dinner. They also post a lot of photos. Let me just say that. They post photos of desserts that they cook, cakes that they bake. And in the previous 6 years, 5 years or so, I used to do a lot of posting, especially barbecue ribs, baked macaroni, Thanksgiving meals, things like that. And a lot of these meals are cooked. Really, I know how to cook them by heart. But once you stop cooking, you end up needing a reference. Let me just put it to you that way. And one reference that I use is my cookbook collection. Now, recently, I started using 2 video cookbooks of mine. Thanksgiving of 2016, I think I didn't cook till maybe that Friday after Thanksgiving, and that's really not like me. I usually cook a Thanksgiving dinner the month before Thanksgiving because I'm so hungry for a turkey and gravy and rice and things like that. And then I cook on Thanksgiving Day as well. But for 2016, I cooked the day after Thanksgiving. And I decided to use one of my references, which is a Martha Stewart video of cooking Thanksgiving dinner. And I got a lot of hints there because of things that you just naturally end up forgetting every now and then. But Martha Stewart is so thorough. I mean, she'll give you some reminders. So now that it's not Thanksgiving anymore and we're into the year of 2017, I decided to check out my other Martha Stewart video cookbook, which is called Martha's Favorite Family Dinners. And that was interesting, too, because if you're going to watch a video, most of the time people watch concerts on video or they watch movies. A lot of people watch movies on video. But I also like to look at cookbooks on video. One reason I look at the cookbooks on video is because I don't see as many cooking shows as I used to see. Like on the Food Network, there are a lot of my favorites, Sonny Anderson, Jida, just a lot of different cooks. But nowadays on the cooking shows on TV, they tend to have a lot of cupcake competitions and cooking chef competitions and things like that. And I haven't gotten my head into them, but a lot of the people in my Facebook group, What's Cooking Good Looking, they watch those shows on TV and really enjoy them. So anyway, once I see something that I enjoy, I'll start looking for other things. So I started looking for more information about Martha Stewart. And I mean, Martha Stewart is heavy, okay? She's a heavyweight. She has her own magazine. She has made about 15 cooking books, and I mean, her cooking books are heavy and thick, okay? So I said, well, I can't buy all this stuff from Amazon, so what I'm going to do is go to the library. And lo and behold, I went to the library looking for Martha Stewart cookbooks, and I saw a zillion others, including hers. But two interesting cookbooks that I took out of the library, I checked out, were cookbooks by Miss Maya Angelou. Oh, my God. Oh, you're talking about really dear to my heart. And out of my entire cookbook collection, Maya Angelou's Hallelujah, the Welcome Table cookbook became my favorite. I mean, I need to just take a look now at some of the recipes in here. I mean, the best ever, the ones that I really enjoy. She has smothered chicken, liver and onions, crackling bread, lemon meringue, and in addition to that, she has a story, a really good story, in the beginning of every chapter. Bread pudding, smothered pork chops. Now, everybody can't cook smothered pork chops. Nowadays, people just take a pork chop and throw it in some gravy and call it smothered, but no, that is not the way it's supposed to be made. Maya Angelou has short ribs of beef, red rice. And I remember when I was first trying to learn how to make red rice. And someone who has checked this cookbook out before I checked it out, they've marked off a lot of the good recipes. Banana pudding, one of my favorites that I get at Golden Corral. I really enjoy banana pudding with coffee as my dessert at Golden Corral. Cornbread stuffing, homemade biscuits. Maya Angelou is killing me already. Fried apples, something I really used to enjoy but didn't make that well. Beef Wellington, puffed pastry, tomato souffle. Now, yesterday at dinner club with some of my club members, one of my club members, Miss Betty, made a carrot souffle. Oh, kill me now, because that carrot souffle tasted just like baked sweet potatoes. And I mean, you have to be good to get a carrot to taste like a sweet potato. It was delicious. We actually had a St. Patty's Day celebration yesterday because, as you may know, March 17th is always St. Patty's Day. And yesterday was March 17th. So we had a St. Patty's Day celebration in our dinner club. And one person, potatoes came out delicious. And I cabbage. I made my corned beef in a crock pot. Now, recently, pressure cooker. But I said, I don't want to chance my corned beef coming out dry. So I said, let me just do it the traditional way in a crock pot. Well, that hunk of corn and just succulent and delicious. And I seasoned it with a can of French onion soup and a couple of slices of jalapeno pepper. That was it. I didn't add any. Oh, I might have added a little of my personal seasonings. I don't remember. You know how to cook in a crock pot. It's always like a 6 to 8 hour deal. But Angelou, she has eclairs in here, one of my favorites. And like, and she has stories in front of every chapter. I've never seen pate, how to make pate in a cookbook before, but Maya Angelou, oh my goodness, just plain old delicious fried potato salad, pickled peaches, okay, my mother used to make that, peaches, and Maya Angelou, she has, anyway, the Maya Angelou, Hallelujah, the Welcome Table Cookbook. I also recently ordered a video cookbook by B. Smith, but you know a lot of what her cookbook is about, from. So now let me just go to my bookshelf and mention some. Don't laugh, I mean, because I have a lot of them. Okay. And my husband, so let me go over my cookbooks. Now, one of my first cookbooks was Farm Journal's Country Cookbook. I bought that cookbook 44 years ago, 1973. I was living in Park Slope, Brooklyn. There was a bookstore around the corner from my apartment on Garfield Place. I lived between 5th Avenue and the Park, or 8th Avenue and the Park, something similar to that. And the main street was 7th Avenue, something like that. And this cookbook was out on a table. And to tell you the truth, I think at the time I paid quite a bit of money for that cookbook, something like $9 or something, and that was a lot. The cookbook that I had prior to this was the Fannie Farmer cookbook. And the thing about the Fannie Farmer cookbook, from the Boston School of Cooking, I mean, that cookbook told you everything about the mechanics of cooking. Temperatures, tools to use, the times of the year to purchase vegetables, how long to cook vegetables. So I actually used to give the Fannie Farmer cookbook out to people that I knew who couldn't cook. And if somebody said to me, oh, man, I can't cook, I would give them the Fannie Farmer cookbook until I didn't have one anymore. Now, my sister started using her Fannie Farmer cookbook, and she's a good cook. She's really a better cook than I now, but she doesn't believe it, but she is. And last Christmas, 2016, she actually ordered some Fannie Farmer cookbooks, and here's the paperback edition. It was originally $1.95. Can't believe that. And now, if you try to get a hardback of the Fannie Farmer cookbook on Amazon.com, it's like maybe $300. And I actually had a hardback that I gave to my daughter. I don't know where that hardback is. She might have it now, and she might not have it. Another favorite of mine is a cookbook by Norma Jean Darden and her sister Carol Darden. And that cookbook is Spoon Bread and Strawberry Wine. Okay, a lot of good recipes. Now, my older cookbooks, I really had to put them in. I had to put them in plastic because I didn't want anything to happen to them. Now, I'm looking from another old cookbook that I've had. Oh, my God. Let me see what year I purchased this one. I have a something called Pasquale's Kitchen. Now, that was an Italian food cookbook. I bought that in 1984. So that cookbook is more than 30 years old. It's a paperback as well, and I probably need to put it in the plastic, in plastic now before the pages deteriorate too much. And in Pasquale's Kitchen, I always use that cookbook for cooking eggplant, Parmesan, and also fried chicken. It's a killer fried chicken recipe in that cookbook. And to tell you the truth, I'm glad I'm mentioning it now because I have forgotten how to cook fried chicken. A lot of the people nowadays in the supermarkets, they fry chicken for you. Okay, so now let me go over some of my most recent. Oh, another favorite of mine is Sylvia's Soul Food Cookbook. To tell you the truth, that's my go-to cookbook, Sylvia's Soul Food Cookbook. Okay, Sylvia's restaurant was in Harlem, and I mean, she did a lot of business there. I have a Weight Watchers cookbook. I have the How to Grill cookbook by Stephen Rashlin. He has a TV show, but he also used to have a barbecue grilling cooking school that cost big money. It used to cost like $2,000 for a weekend or something similar to that. I have Down Home with the Neelys cookbook. They had their own cooking show. And while I'm talking about cooking shows, one of the cooking shows that I watch recently is on the OWN channel, the Oprah Winfrey Network. And now the name just left me. It's Sweetie Pies. Okay, Sweetie Pies is not about cooking, but the people from Sweetie Pies own a restaurant. So you really learn a lot about cooking watching that show. You learn a lot about cooking and restaurant ownerships. Now, I enjoy Latin flavors, and so I actually have two cookbooks by Daisy Martinez. One is called Daisy Cooks. She had her own cooking show, and the other one is called Daisy's Holiday Cooking. I have a paperback Indian cookbook. I have the South Beach Diet cookbook. I have Superfood Smoothies cookbook, which I took out of the library the other day. I have that already here at home. I have cocktail cookbooks. I have secret recipes. Now, the top secret recipes cookbooks, those have the recipes of fast food restaurants like Applebee's and places like that. I have a complete cookbook of Caribbean cooking. I loaned that to a girl one day, and I actually told her she could cook, but she didn't keep it. I have another cookbook that's one of my old favorites, and that's by G. Garvin. His cookbook is called Turn Up the Heat. Oh, my goodness. His show was really good, too. And G. Garvin could cook fast. I mean, a lot of these cooking shows today, in 30 minutes, some of them cook three different meals. Now, Sam, the cooking guy, he actually cooks three different meals in 30 minutes. And by meals, he cooks a lot of sandwiches. So he's a quick cook. And Sam, the cooking guy, I watch his show. And like I said, he cooks a lot of sandwiches. Another cookbook I have is called Talk About Good. And this cookbook was put out by the Junior League of Lafayette, Louisiana. Now, I bought this cookbook before Katrina. And Katrina was a flood that, as you know, really devastated Louisiana, the New Orleans area of Louisiana, and I think maybe some of the other areas too. And it was tragic. But this cookbook is put together in relation to, like, the whole community, cookbooks from people in the community. I think the community contributed a lot of recipes. Now, that's a word I need to use here, is recipes, to this particular cookbook. And I've seen since I bought this cookbook, I've seen cookbooks from other communities where people have put together recipes that are near and dear to their community. I enjoy soul food, so let me just say that. And someone else who put out a lot of cookbooks that, but I don't have one, is Patti LaBelle. Patti LaBelle is known as the soul food sister. So let me move on. I have Emeril Lagasse. Okay, Emeril gets down. I think he's from Louisiana. He's a killer cook. I have a cookbook that was actually given to me in Sam's Club one day. It's called Fresh, Fast, and Fabulous. I might take a look at that. I have Tyler Florence's cookbook. I don't see him cooking that much anymore on TV either, and I used to love Tyler Florence. Tyler Florence gets down, and his food, it just really looks good, and I'm sure it would taste good if I ever made some of the recipes. Now, as far as my Hallelujah cookbook by Maya Angelou, I'm definitely going to make some of her restaurants. I remember I saw a TV show about a young lady who made a lot of recipes by Julia Child. She took the Julia Child cookbook and cooked every single recipe, which in that case I believe was French food. Well, I'm going to go through some of those recipes in the Maya Angelou Hallelujah, the Welcome Table cookbook. Mark my words, okay? I have a cookbook by Sandra Lee. Now, Sandra Lee is one of those easy, quick cooks. She'll cook 10 things in 30 minutes on TV. The book I have by her is called Easy Entertaining at Home. Now, one place I've gotten a lot of these cookbooks was probably from Sam's Club. The other place I've gotten some of these cookbooks, I've ordered them from Amazon.com. I also have the O Magazine cookbook that I forget where I bought the O Magazine cookbook, but I really enjoy it. I also have a Neiman Marcus cookbook. Now, I paid big money for this Neiman Marcus cookbook, and I think Neiman Marcus puts out cookbooks periodically. I ended up paying big money for it because I had a gift card to Neiman Marcus for maybe about $50, and there was really nothing I could buy in the store for $50. So I ended up getting this Neiman Marcus cookbook. I also have a cookbook for baking cookies. I have some of the food magazines issues, which I enjoy. Let me see. I also have a gazillion cookbooks. I forgot. I have them on my Kindle. So my Kindle is upstairs, but I know I have a cookbook by Jida. I have a cookbook by Ina Gardner. I have, there's a TV show that comes on every day, The Chew. Okay, I have The Chew's cookbook. Okay, and I almost forgot. So I have several cookbooks on my Kindle. And I actually thought I had purchased one, the one that's all meat. Rachel Ray has an all-burger cookbook that I really would like to have. But I'm going to be honest with you. I decided I'm not buying any more cookbooks. So I'm really shocked that I ended up buying Maya Angelou's. But I couldn't help myself. Now, I also have something called the Fat-Free Cookbook. Yeah, that's when you're dieting. And I might have gotten the Fat-Free Cookbook for $1 or something from the library. Because sometimes the library sells books in general, and the books only cost $1. So I'm sure that's where I got that Fat-Free Cookbook. But at any rate, I really enjoyed You see how long it took me to go through all those cookbooks, and believe me, I left out quite a few. I didn't even mention all the ones on my Kindle, not in depth. I love Ina Gardner. I love Jaida. And, you know, Jaida, she cooks Italian food. Ina Gardner always cooks food for luncheons. Like, she invites her friends over. And her fiancé on the TV show, he always picks up a lot of good ingredients for Ina. And Ina always cooks with fresh ingredients. And that's something that we need to talk about. Food does taste better when you use fresh ingredients. But in relation to food, food temperatures and things like that are very important. And so people need to know about them. So let me move on. Right now I'm going to quickly discuss some of my cooking appliances. I probably mentioned to you that I have a pressure cooker. Now, I mentioned my crock pot. Everybody has a crock pot. I mean, everybody has a crock pot. And crock pots are heavy, oh my God. But they are good for cooking certain items, stews or baked beans or soups. A lot of people cook soups in crock pots. I have a pressure cooker that I didn't even know I had. I happened to be going through some things in my garage, and lo and behold, I had a pressure cooker by Wolfgang Puck. Recently, I started using this pressure cooker, and actually, it's an electric pressure cooker. Now, when I was growing up, people had cookers in their homes that they cooked on a gas stove, usually, and it had a top that whistled, and I guess you knew when steam was coming out, it would be whistling. And my pressure cooker has the electric one. It has a top that whistles, too. And I got sold on it one day when I was looking at the recipe book that goes with the electric pressure cooker. And it said I can cook 4 sweet potatoes in 15 minutes. And I was like, what? I'm going to try this out. Surely enough, I put 4 sweet potatoes in there with, I think, 2 cups of water, and in 15 minutes, they were done. And I've learned there are a lot of other good things you can cook in there, like baked macaroni that normally takes hours and hours to put together. You can take some macaroni, some water, and throw some water and milk combo, some salt, and some cheese in that bad boy, and you'll have a delicious baked macaroni, and especially a white macaroni and cheese. I noticed that's probably why they're cooking a lot of that in restaurants. They may be using a pressure cooker for their macaroni and cheese alone. They can actually cook individual ones every 10 minutes or something for customers. Something my husband bought me recently that I love is the Ninja system, okay? And I make my smoothies and everything in the Ninja. The Ninja is something that you can use to make smoothies. You can make dough in the Ninja, and it has all kinds of gadgets to go with it. And I use my Ninja regularly. The other appliance that we use every single day is, of course, the coffee maker, the Keurigs. And we use the microwave. We use the microwave every day. So there are a lot of appliances, really, that you use almost on such a daily basis that you really forget that you actually use them as frequently as you do. So my Ninja is like a blender type of system, and it's the professional 1500 watts Ninja. I pulled out another appliance recently, a bread maker, right? Because I was like in the supermarket, and bread is costing $4 for a loaf of bread. I was like, what? Let me pull out my bread maker. So I did. But I really didn't do as well with my bread maker as I could have. I needed to get one of the regular bread kits that they sell out here that can be used with the bread maker. I was just surprised that the bread maker still worked because I had that thing about 20 years now. Plugged that bad boy in, and really, it was telling me how it's supposed to cook things. I didn't even know, but I know now all you do is plug it in and let it do its thing. You put in the ingredients that you want for a loaf of bread, and press start, and that thing will start cooking you a loaf of bread. And if you make a mistake and put delay on it, it may not start for 3 hours. But if you don't press delay or a whole lot of buttons, that thing will immediately start cooking your loaf of bread right then and there. Now, something that I started doing recently is containerizing. And I decided to start containerizing foods because over the years I've been cooking like big pots of rice, beans, and things like that. And even if I don't put the pot in the refrigerator, I would put it in the refrigerator in a big plastic container. And then what happens is you got to pull out that gigantic container every time you want just a bowl of red beans and rice or a bowl of beef stew or a bowl of chili. And so I decided that I am going to put my food in the containers, containers similar to the containers that are used in Chinese restaurants, because nowadays they don't use as much styrofoam. That some of the restaurants use a plastic container, and the containers have tops. So I had one set of plastic containers I bought off Amazon, and it had three sections in it. And at first I thought that would be good, but I learned that the three-section container limits me. So I bought a set of containers, a 50-piece set, I think, from Costco's. And you're talking about buying good food. Costco's and Sam's Club and even BJ's. Costco's is really my favorite. Now, Sam's was my favorite for many years because I've been a member of Sam's for more than 20 years, Sam's Club. But so at any rate, I got this set of containers, rectangular containers from Costco's, and it really works because I can put beans and rice or spaghetti. I can cook a pot of spaghetti and spaghetti sauce and put the leftovers in those containers. And this way, when my husband wants something to eat, or if I want something to eat real quick, all I have to do is pull out a container. And I also use some of the red deep, kind of a deep dish container. I forget, Rubbermaid. You can use the Rubbermaid deep dish container. It's a small, it's only like 6 by 6 inches or something similar to that, or 5 by 5 inches, but it's a little deeper. And you can put beef stew in there. So what I'm saying is after you cook a huge pot of something, or even if you cook a Thanksgiving dinner, I can use those sectioned off containers. I can put turkey, stuffing, baked macaroni in one of those same containers and just keep putting in, making as many as possible. Sometimes I make 6 containers of food, sometimes 8, and then I just put those in the refrigerator, and when we want one, we just grab them and eat them. I don't necessarily freeze containerized food. However, I will use the containers to, if I have a pot of collard greens, and I know we're not going to use them all, now I'll put some of those collard greens in one of those smaller containers and put it in the freezer. So that's a technique I've been using, and I'm going to tell you this, it saves me money. It saves me time. I don't have to pull out pots and get a little bit of food out of this pot, a little bit of food out of that pot, then put it in plate and then put it in the microwave. I can just, I do it, okay, or right after we've eaten, I containerize the food right then and there, and then for the rest of the week or month, whatever, not even a month though, rest of the week, we can eat that item or we can eat a second item. I can alternate if I've cooked two pots. And speaking of cooking two pots, I used to do that years ago on Sundays. Man, I would cook three big dinners on a Sunday, whether it was a meatloaf and a pot roast, say a meatloaf and pork roast or something like that, and so that we would have enough food to eat. But I still used to use the same method in those days, pulling out all the pots in order to heat food up. And in those days, we worked, and I had a different type of plastic container. I would take the food out, put it in the plastic containers to take for lunch, and so we'd get to work with the food. The food would be cold, and then we would put it on the heater at work and eat shortly after we get to work. I'm wondering if I used to keep those containers in a cooler. I think I did. I think I did used to keep them cold in a cooler till we got to work. I got hip to a new condiment recently, and that condiment is pesto. Oh, my God, you're talking about some shrimps, spaghetti, and a condiment like pesto? Pesto is made with basil, and I never really even noticed basil. I noticed that people do grow basil, sage, parsley, I think it's what, calandria or something similar to that. But basil is a plant that I had never really thought about. Mint, that's something that people tend to grow as well, or buy it and then keep it growing. But I just got hip to pesto, and I really enjoy it. I would love to have my own garden, mainly with herbs and tomatoes. And I saw some herbs recently on sale in Walmart. Like I said, it was sage and mint, parsley, but I would have gotten one if it had been fresh basil. And I think pesto is made with basil, Parmesan cheese, and like olive oil. So it's perishable. It has to be kept in the refrigerator once you open it. But I have really enjoyed it. I even enjoy eating it on crackers because for some reason it's a flavor that I like and didn't even know it. Another flavor that I never used to like was hazelnut, but for some reason now, that's a flavor that I tend to enjoy. So today I'm going to pick up some hazelnut creamer for my coffee. Okay, so now, like I said, some of the cooking shows that I used to enjoy, right now I enjoy Sam the Cooking Guy, and I enjoy watching Sweetie Pies on OWN. But I used to enjoy the Neelys, G. Garvin, Tyler Florence, Bobby Flay. I forgot to mention Bobby Flay because I don't have his cookbook. Bobby Flay used to have the Cooking Showdown. The people on the Chew are good. Carla, I have one of Carla's cookbook. Carla is from the Chew, and I have one of her cookbooks on my Kindle. And to tell you the truth, I'm going to have to take a look at her cookbook. Carla is, she's an eccentric cook. So like I said, I decided to do a special show today to celebrate my 6 years with Blog Talk Radio. Let me just say this. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall. This year I've dedicated my shows to myself because I want people to get to know me. When people don't know you, sometimes they can have misconceptions about what kind of person you are. So I decided I'll just use my Blog Talk Radio show to help people to get to know me. A TV show that I've been watching recently that's hilarious. is Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart. Oh, Martha Stewart is unique. Girlfriend knows how to reinvent herself. And, I mean, she's actually funny because the things she says are ironic, they're intelligent, the comments that she makes, and she really kills me going up against someone like Snoop Dogg. So they have their own cooking show, Snoop and Martha. Hilarious, hilarious show, hilarious. Something I learned from one of Martha's video cookbook recipes was how to make my own fried fish nuggets. Now, I had never thought about that. In upstate New York, at the Price Chopper, the local Price Chopper in Newburgh, they actually fry fish for you in their fish market section. So I never had to even fry fish anymore. And one of the things that we really enjoy is catfish nuggets. So I'm going to try making my own fried fish nuggets based on Martha Stewart video recipe. And I'm having a barbecue on May 27th this year, May 27th of 2017. I'm having a barbecue with members of the dinner club that I was with yesterday. And I might fry them some catfish nuggets because the foods we'll have will really go with fish nuggets, the macaroni and a salad or macaroni salad or coleslaw. At any rate, I think I'll fry them some fish nuggets. So I've gone over my favorite cookbooks, my Sylvia cookbook, Spoon Bread and Strawberry Wine by Miss Darden and her sister. And they actually have restaurants in Harlem, the Spoon Bread 1 and 2 restaurants. And I saw her on one of Martha Stewart's video cookbook shows. And I was surprised because I hadn't looked at that video cookbook in a while. But I did see her the last time I looked at that, which could have been about 10 years ago. And so that was interesting. And I've never eaten at Spoon Bread 1 and 2, but the next time I'm in Harlem, up there around 110th Street, I think I will check out Spoon Bread. I heard that they recently they had a special. I saw them on a recent show, talk show, and they had a special. Let me just say this. I actually have a refrigerator in my kitchen, the stainless like everybody else has, a stainless steel. I have a mini fridge. I have a garage refrigerator that's really old, but it kicks. And I have a freezer. And, of course, you know, you have to definitely clean these things out periodically, at to say the least. The last time I cleaned out my stainless steel refrigerator, I put in liners so that I can just pull out them so that the liners can actually collect some of the droppings from the refrigerator, and it does. And the linings can actually come out and be washed off, dried, and put back in. What I wanted to say is, since when did families need so many refrigerators? Because with me and my husband, there are only two of us, but something I've been doing is decluttering my home. And I need to declutter my food cabinets, my pantry, and my refrigerator. And because I had so many condiments taking up space in my inside refrigerator, that I never had any space to store food because too many condiments. So I did that. I got a little basket from the dollar store, took several condiments out of my main refrigerator and put them into my refrigerator. And we had just cleaned that garage refrigerator out. That was a job, cleaning that from top to bottom. I first took everything out of there, turned it off, and then cleaned it out and left it unused for about 6 days before I plugged it back in. So let's just talk about dishwashers. Man, I have worn several dishwashers out because when I finish cooking, yes, I load up the dishwasher. A friend of mine told me she washes her dishes by hand, and she just puts them in the dishwasher to dry them. And she's not the only one. I've heard other people say that, too, that they use their dishwasher as a dryer. Not girlfriend here. Uh-uh, not me. I've worn out 5 or 6 dishwashers already. Definitely, I've purchased 3, 4 maybe in New York, and about 4 down here in Chesapeake, Virginia. 2 for my home here and 1 for another home. So I guess that makes about 7 dishwashers. I've gone over some of my cooking appliances, and like I said, 2 of my latest favorites are my Wolfgang Puck pressure cooker and my Ninja. I also saw some big pots, kettles, like in Sam's, and I wanted to get one. It was $39, but I just didn't get it. I was like, I'm not going to do it. And I have a set of pots that I bought years ago on HSN, I think. It's the gold. It's called the 24-karat gold. And the handles are 24-karat gold. I got 21 pieces with it, which included some scoopers and a fork. I also got an ice bucket with it. And I've been cooking with those pots all these years. Those bad boys have not worn out on me either. I bought a set of 3 frying pans recently, and I really enjoy using those frying pans. But the truth is, I have not mastered frying chicken. And I guess it's because I haven't used my old recipe from Pasquale, and also because so many places make fried chicken. And I really enjoyed anything smothered, whether it's fried chicken smothered, burgers. My sister can make a delicious gravy, period, hands down. And you really can't smother anything delicious unless you can make a delicious gravy. I mean, my sister makes a killer gravy because she makes hamburgers in gravy and with rice. That's a dish I used to really enjoy eating at whenever I went over to her house. And smothered pork chops. Now, I can fry a pork chop. I remember years ago I took a fried pork chop to work. When I believed the girl, and she told me she was so hungry, and I gave her one of those pork chops. The next week when I saw her, she said, "Girl, that was the best pork chop I ever ate in my entire life." And I know it was, because that bad boy was tasty, okay? And it wasn't a smothered pork chop. It was a fried pork chop. But the key to pork is it must be marbled with fat in order to be tender, okay? You got to marble. You got to buy marbled meat. Meat has to have a little fat on it in order to be tender. Now, if you're buying a ham, you squeeze the ham, because if the ham is squishy, the ham has too much fat in it. So that's something I've learned about hams. So I don't want fat in a ham, but in other meats, you want it to be a little marbled, especially even steaks. And speaking of steaks, oh, man, don't let me start talking about barbecuing on the grill or cooking steaks on the grill or grilling smothered salmon. Okay. And I actually buy my, not smothered salmon, stuffed salmon. I actually buy my stuffed salmon from Sam's Club. Love it, because the Sam's Club stuffed salmon is stuffed with seafood, you know, shrimps and crab meat and stuff like that. Some of the other stores sell you stuffed salmon, but it's only stuffed with bread stuffing. So you got to be careful for that. But salmon with butter on it, oh, it is so delectable with a salad. Oh, my God. Just plain old delicious. I do have to say that my husband and I don't eat as much meat anymore. Here lately, I guess because it's winter, I've been cooking more meat, and I guess because I've been able to use that electric pressure cooker, I've been cooking more meat. But we really enjoy shrimps. We really enjoy salmon. I really enjoy frying my own fish. Now I get the fish frozen sometimes from Walmart, thaw it out and fry it or bake it. Baked fish is very good. We eat a lot of beans and rice. One of my favorite dishes, all-time favorites, is meatloaf. Why I've always enjoyed meatloaf so much, I don't know, but I enjoy a good hamburger, too. So a hamburger with onions, sometimes guacamole, lettuce, tomatoes. And here nearby, there's a restaurant that sells their burgers with macaroni and cheese. Killer. Okay. Killer, kill me now. A burger and a dish of macaroni and cheese, you might as well just crawl up and go to sleep after you've eaten that. Like I said, we enjoy salmon, we enjoy shrimps, and I enjoy crab cakes. I do not want to pay $15 for one crab cake or two crab cakes in a restaurant, but I will buy a box of six crab cakes and then bake them myself. Fish, salmon, shrimps, and things like that, they tend to go really well with pastas or a salad, something like that. Something else that I enjoy eating is chips. Man, I love chips. I love chips and dips. As a matter of fact, I had a menu. I created a menu for my barbecue that will be held on May 27th this year, 2017, in my backyard. And I had a lot of goodies on that menu, including salsa and chips. So one of the club members is planning to bring salsa and chips. Another of my all-time favorite desserts, and I do enjoy desserts. I really don't enjoy as much Jell-O or gelatin-style desserts, but I enjoy ice cream. I enjoy cookies. I enjoy carrot cake. We had carrot cake yesterday. That's one of my favorites. And one place that I know that sells a really delicious frozen carrot cake is Harris Teeter. That's a local supermarket. My local supermarkets here now are Farm Fresh, Harris Teeter, Walmart. Okay. When I don't go to those particular restaurants, I'm shopping at Sam's or Costco's. In New York, I used to shop at either ShopRite or Price Chopper. And Price Shop and Sam's Club. ShopRite, Price Chopper, Sam's Club. In Atlanta, they have a couple of supermarkets there. One of them was Kroger, and Kroger has moved into the Virginia area. The other one is Publix. Publix is planning to move into the Virginia area. One place I don't get a chance to go to often is Trader Joe's, and I don't get a chance to go to Whole Foods at all. I really don't get a chance, even though they're both located in the Virginia Beach area. So I do go to Trader Joe's once in a while, but I just have not had time to stop at Whole Foods, even though I get emails from Whole Foods telling me what the special is, things like that. So, at any rate, you got a chance to meet me today. I'm Laura Gall. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio, and my show today is called Laura Gall's Cookbook Collection. And it has really been my pleasure to tell you about one of my prized possessions. So, until we meet again, and let me just say thank you so much for listening. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio. And if you want to, just, you know, log on to Blog Talk Radio. There are a lot of other shows on Blog Talk Radio. There are a lot of cooking shows, politics, religion, and all of my past shows, like the African American Biography Series of 2013. At that time, when I produced that show, my host name is May, M-A-E, 510. My host name is May 510, and the name of my show at that time was You Talk Too Much. So that really killed people because I actually used to use that as one of my license plates. I might change that to my license plate again. And there are people, a lot of people used to ask me about that license plate, You Talk Too Much. But that license plate was really a homage to my radio show. So thank you so much for listening. I enjoyed spending an hour with you today. Take care. Until we meet again.